Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander. I'm here to host my show, Wi-Fi for Happiness. Today is a guest, Rick Hayes. Are you there, Rick?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon.
Good. Now let's take this intro interview on. I read your entry in the book. It was an interesting entry. It said something to the effect of you were watching the Space Shuttle Challenger go up, and you turned to your son, and then you said, "It's okay, they moved on." Well, why don't you tell that story?
Well, okay. First of all, I want to just say this. It's great to be on. I love your title of your show, by the way. Those are three important ingredients to a great life.
I wanted a nice universal title that could potentially be meaning to me, because it could involve interviewing everyone. Because what happened was, what I found is that when you make your show limited to a topic, and what happens is that it runs out of steam. The show runs out of steam over time. It just people don't want to talk about that topic that day, so you can't do anything.
Yeah.
With my show, we can always do something.
Well, those three words, if you apply those to your daily life, those three words, it creates some great energy in your day as well. So in regard to your question about the challenge, this was before the public and shared my abilities. But my son and I were sitting there, and we always had breakfast on Sunday mornings together, and we were sitting there, and we turned on the television because we wanted to watch the landing of the Challenger. And as we're watching it, they were showing the announcer was talking about how everything looked smooth, and they began saying, they focused on the sky, and they were saying it should be entering soon. And as they were getting closer to the cameras, I looked over at my son and I said, I said to him, they're okay. They moved on and they're okay, and they won't feel the pain. And he looked at me and he said, "Dad, we talked about it." And I said, "They're okay." And that's all I could share with him at the time. And within a few moments then, of course, it's history, but the Challenger exploded. And he looked at me and he said, "So, Dad, are you sure? You're telling me then that they were actually moved on before the explosion?" I said, "Yes." I said, "The physical bodies may have been affected by the explosion, but," I said, "the body of the spirit, they had already transcended out of their bodies, and they had moved on." I feel that they were overcome by some kind of gas or something that actually affected them before we saw the explosion. And of course, we can't validate that yet to this day, but in my own belief, I do feel that.
You know, what they did was so brave. I mean, one of them was a teacher. She wasn't even an astronaut. I mean, this woman wasn't even an astronaut. It's one thing to do it if you're an astronaut. It's another thing. I mean, she was a teacher. She wasn't even, and the thing that was interesting about it was this will break your heart. They interviewed the daughter before the Space Shuttle Challenger went up, and she was like so scared of her mom going up. It was just sad. I mean,
to me, Jonathan, she's a great example of going outside your limits. Fear kind of restricts us from going beyond, and we don't want to expand our boundaries or expand our opportunities because of fear. And there's a prime example. She was a teacher, but did not allow her fear to maintain her boundaries. She actually said, "I'm going to expand my boundaries by overcoming my fear." And she's a very, very good example of what that can do for you. Yes, she moved on, and it was a tragic incident, but at the same time, we should reflect on how she you know, how she expanded her boundary and overcame her fear and something did something historical, and just to show that for us.
Yeah, going up in space is something that is so brave. And you know, the funny thing is that you mentioned fear. I think a lot of times you think that people who are skeptical of what you do, you think they're more afraid than anything?
Well, in a book I've written, I always share, you know, people ask me, they say, what do you think about those who are skeptical and doesn't believe in what you're sharing and you know, always, you know, and I look at them, I say, well, the first thing I share is it's okay to be skeptical because for me that means you're simply still learning to understand, you know, and fear is just a mindset. It's something that, you know, restricts. I do feel fear restricts us, but fear is also a benefit in the sense that it protects us. And, you know, for what I do, I feel a lot of individuals are not so much has the fear of you know, understanding what I do, but it's more of just they're still learning to understand it. And that's how I look at it. I don't look at them that they have a fear about it. I think they're looking more of, you know, because, Jonathan, let's face it, in our society, we grow up, we've got to, you know, especially the men, the men in this society, you got to, you know, we got to see it, touch it, feel it to believe it. It's got to be concrete. And if there's something mm-hmm. That is nothing concrete, then we automatically say, no, it's not real. But if you think about it, we're talking about the Challenger. You know, if you think about it, 60, 70, 80 years ago, if you would have walked up to someone and said, we're going into space, not only going into space, we're going to walk on the moon, and they would look at
right.
you 60, 70, 80 years ago and would have said, there's no way. You know, you can't believe
actually,
that.
Actually, it's funny that you bring that up. There's actually some people who believe that moonwalk was fake.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah,
I mean, well,
conspiracy
actually, you know,
of that,
it's
yeah.
It's funny when you really think about it. I can understand why they would think that because it's almost like, you look at it and you think, okay, wait a minute. They did that? Wait a minute. You know, it almost doesn't look like it's like for instance, you know, there was when I first told my sister about, when my sister first heard about cloning, she didn't believe it. She said, okay, how'd they do that? How'd they, you know, and it was just sort of like, so the moon landing just sort of looks, in a certain sense, almost like, okay, well, wait a minute, there's no way. You know, this can't be real, you know. And sometimes people are very good at doing certain things that just look real, or so you don't know if it's real or not. And that's the amazing part.
Especially what they're doing in movies today. I mean, they're creating things that, you know, again, if individuals would have looked at that, what we do today on the movies, 100 years ago, they would have said, they would not have understood it. They would have said, how can that be? But, you know,
it's funny. Like, this, I'll give you an interesting story. My mom, I think my dad went to, mom and the dad, they went to Disney World, and they apparently one day my nephew had to sit back. He has autism, so they had to sit back that day. And what happened was that they go to this Jurassic Park display, and my father's an intelligent man. He was an MD, you know. He looked at this mechanical dinosaur that they had on display. And he was convinced that was a real dinosaur, not a mechanical one, that was a real dinosaur. And apparently he came home and he told my mom, he says, honey, they have a real dinosaur there. They actually have, for some reason they managed to clone one and make one. And mom, that wasn't kidding. And so mom goes to see us the next day, and she is, like, flabbergasted by it. She's like, okay, you know, so as the lady's about ready to walk away, and you know how it is at Disney World, you don't want to ruin the thing for the kids. So mom starts, you know, walking up to the lady, pointing her, and she goes, honey, miss, what is that? What is that thing? What is that thing? And she basically just was freaking out the lady, so that the lady had to get up and walk away. But And it was just one of those things. I think the thing is, when you see, because also another thing I noticed about in your section in your book is you don't use the term dead. Am I right?
Right. Right, exactly. Well, and I've been that way all my life. I feel that, you know, the word death or dead is a definition that means an end. I do not feel like we end in life. We simply have a life continual. We live on and on. And what we're doing in this life right now is a part of our ongoing life where we're living in a physical body. But once we complete this path in our earthly path, we just simply transcend into a body of spirit, and we continue on in life. We continue on, and our loved ones are around us, and they're with us, and they're in another part of life that we will go into at once we're completed on this earth. So that I came out to the public with these abilities. I've shared, you know, that I've had these all my life, but 13 years ago is when I said it's time for me to share. And one of the things I really realized quickly was that I was saying the word move on because I wanted to express that I didn't want to use the word death. I didn't want to use in death or dead. And so I coined the word move on, and it seems to be catching because I'm noticing some of the others around now are using the word move on, which I love, and that's what we're doing. We're just moving on. We're moving on with life.
What are you doing?
By the way, I was very honored to be a part of that book. It's the top 100 psychicologists in America. They interviewed me about a year and a half ago. At the time, I did not realize what it was about, but when I was selected to be in the top 50, I was very honored to be a part of it.
Well, you know, it's sort of funny because I've interviewed a lot of the people in that book because they give the contact information. They really make it seem like it's what I thought was kind of interesting was this is something maybe you can give your opinion on this. One of the ladies interviewed before told me a story that her mom told her that after she died that she would always come to see her in the form of a clock, the clock with 11-11, mm-hmm. You know mm-hmm. what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Now, what exactly does that mean? When you look at a clock and you see 11-11.
Well, and again, I do believe that our loved ones in spirit gives us what I call physical validations or signs to let us know that they're around us. And, you know, they understand because they lived in a physical body at one time. They understand we have five senses, the sense of smell and hear and sight. And so they will give us these signs, for example, being on a certain number on a clock. And, you know, another example is, I always give the example when I'm speaking that, you know, there's a picture on a wall and suddenly the picture falls. And they give us these little signs to just simply just say, hey, we're here. And, you know, and by us, by this person that you're sharing with, looking at a clock 11-11, you know, sometimes if it could be a symbolic reason for the numbers, for example, 1111 could be something as being an individual of four individuals, or it could be, you know, there's many different meanings for the signs. The key here, as I share with everyone, is to recognize those signs, and then once you recognize the signs, immediately pay attention to the thoughts that you're receiving because those are signs that are being received by the loved ones. I also shared, Jonathan, but also don't forget your logic. I talk about this. You know, you must use logic. So, in other words, I talked about the picture on the wall. If a picture falls off a wall and suddenly you at the same time had a 6.2 earthquake, well, then I think it's logic that the earthquake
right.
created that. But don't forget your life after logic. In other words, you know, if a picture falls off the wall, don't say, well, that is a coincidence and go on. Pay attention to those signs.
Right. Like, I would say having a dream about something three nights in a row is, you know, is more than a coincidence. We say that?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I just wrote on my Facebook pages this morning about dreams. I feel that dreams are a connection. You do have some dreams that are what I title as for entertainment purposes only, but especially the dreams that will have a loved one in the dream that has moved on, that are in spirit, pay attention to those because they're around us all the time, but we're so busy in our daily routine, we tend to not pay attention to them or pay attention to the signs. But when we're sleeping, that's when they have that's the best time for them to connect with us because they have our full attention. And at the same time, I truly feel when you're sleeping that you're also connecting and energizing within your own spirit. Your physical body is being nourished by the rest, and your body of spirit that is a part of you is being energized, and you're connecting with your spirit. So if you have a loved one in your dream, pay attention to them. Pay attention to the dream. I usually recommend to have a notebook or a recorder next to your nightstand. And as soon as you wake up, pay attention to what, first of all, what they look like, what they said, the environment around you, and then also if any thoughts you had. And then go back to sleep. And then the next morning you can get up and review what was received. So it's a great way to connect with your loved ones.
I had whenever I've dreamt about like my grandfather or my grandmother, at the dream, they seem alive. They seem as though they're here, you know?
Yes.
And one time I had a dream where I was aware that they had passed on, like that I was aware that they had on a whole other level. And I was looking up, and there they were. I was like looking up, and I saw them. And I won't mention the name of the person, you know, but my grandmother leaned down, and she goes, "I have something to tell you." And she goes, "This is your soulmate." And then my grandfather leaned down. By the way, they weren't married to each other. They were on different sides of the family. It was my father's father, my mother's mother. My grandfather leaned down and he says, "Well, I have something to tell you, but you won't remember it when you wake up." Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine, she told me, she goes, "Why would a spirit do that? Why would a spirit go down? Why would they do that?" I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah, and again, sometimes we will receive messages that we don't understand, but I feel a lot of times when we receive messages we don't understand, it's to get us to take more time to focus on them. Because if there's something we don't understand, we just tend to have a tendency to reflect on it more, to think about it more, and to dissect it and to find where the message is. Where if they would tell us in detail, we would remember it, but then we would have a tendency to soon forget it. And it's just like, I always share that, it's like, Jonathan, like brushing your teeth every morning. You brush your teeth every morning, you don't even think about it, you just do it. And, you know, there's no even thought to it. But if a loved one gives you a message that you don't quite understand, it's going to make you just reflect on it more to find the answer for it. So, wow, that's great. And you know, the key here also, what you said, I love what you said, too, that there was a grandmother and a grandfather from opposite sides of the family. The key here is they both care for you and they love you, and they both came to share with you, you know, we're a part of your life and we're going to help. We're both here because we care about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my grandmother was even more interesting about that is, not only were they from different parts of their life, but they were from different religious backgrounds. My grandmother was a Southern Baptist, and my grandfather was an atheist. So,
love it.
You know,
and that my upbringing's very similar. I mean, my upbringing was a church-going upbringing. I do believe in our Creator, and my upbringing, we went to church because my grandfather was an evangelist, and my mother, of course, was a preacher's daughter. So I grew up in knowing that there was more than just life here, but just going to church and being taught. But also in an early age,
what does your family think about all of what you do?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, we've always supported. I've got a very good, loving family. We've always supported one another, but you know, with these abilities have been given, we kind of kept them just to ourselves up until about 13 years ago. And whenever I decided at that time it was time for me to share with others, and it came through an experience of a friend actually who shared with me, used being selfish. She told me, she said, "Why are you being so selfish, keeping this to yourself when you could be helping so many others?" And that's what really made me realize I've got a gift. Anytime you've been given a gift, you should share it in life. And, you know, but so whenever I actually went to my family and kind of shared with them that I was going to begin sharing these out in the world, you know, there was some, I don't want to say that they were, you know, totally against it, but there was some concerns because of our traditional religious upbringing. But at the same time, I mean, today they have respect for what I do. And I've got, you know, there's a couple in my family, Jonathan, that really support me and has been there for me in the last 13 years. The other family, part of the family, supportive. They just, you know, it's like, we don't really want to talk about it, but we know you're doing a good thing. So,
well, some people, you know, they have roads that maybe aren't the best for them to go down. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? I mean, maybe it's their way of saying, this isn't the road that I want to go as far as communicating with something else, you know. Maybe,
right.
I mean, if you're doing the right thing, it's fine, but I don't want to go down this road, you know. Maybe that's what they're saying. I mean, because, like, for instance, I mean, I've looked at people who do other things involving the spirit world, and I'm thinking, I don't know if I really want to go down that road. It doesn't mean that there's not a connection there, but, well, like, I'll give an example. I don't know if you're familiar with the name Joan Cara, but had her on. One of the people we decided to channel was Madeline Murray O'Hare.
Mm-hmm.
You know who that is, don't you?
Yes, an atheist. Well, I'll restate that. She used to be an atheist, but now she knows.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that we channeled her just to see what would an atheist, and she was really hard, what would she say if you channeled her? And basically what she said is, she says, okay, well, I believe that there's an afterlife, but I still don't believe in the God that you believe in, what she said. I don't know if that, what that means, but I guess what she's telling you is that, you know, we're in for some surprises, I guess. Good surprises. But, Madeline Murray O'Hare was, and it was so funny because, this was what's really weird. I wouldn't be happy about this, but for a period of time, my grandmother, and Madeline Murray O'Hare looked exactly alike. Mm-hmm. He was sort of her atheist twin, so to speak. And the funny thing is that I said to, you know, I said, you would think that two people who were so dogmatic would eventually get a conversation together. They did. They actually spoke, I think, on the radio once. But nobody can really remember the exact details of what was said. I imagine it wasn't a very good conversation. But, and you know, it's sort of funny. I often wonder, like, what do they think of the radio show? Like, today, when I scheduled the interview with you, I got really scared. Because, like, what happened was, they said, okay, we're going to mail you back, your assistant said, we're going to mail you back a promotion sheet, we're going to mail you back all this stuff, and I thought, oh, God, what do I do with this? Oh, God, I don't want to hurt his feelings by not doing the right stuff with it. I mean, I wanted to make sure that I gave you, but, you know, well, it is true. I mean, like, I'm okay.
Well, and Jonathan, all they were doing was just, we really tried to help. We understand how it takes a lot of work to do a radio show, a lot more work than people realize. And And so, you know, anytime that we go, I'm going to be a guest on a show, we usually say, let's do our, you know, let us help you. We'll do our part, give you all the information
that
we can.
You guys scared me there. We'll tell you this. I have, I'm going to do this after the interview. I have a Facebook page that I created. I interview all sorts of guests, but this is devoted solely to the psychics that I have interviewed. And I would like to add you to that group if that's possible.
You most definitely can. And
you can
I'd be honest.
You can go in there. You can advertise whatever you choose. You can, if you have a book signing, you can advertise it. If you have a radio show that you're doing, you can advertise it. It's a place where it's kind of, I know I don't have a whole lot to thank, but this is the place where I go to, I kind of can give thanks to the people that I've interviewed, and it's a way of kind of thanking them. And if you want to leave, but it's something that I do that's kind of a gesture of thanks. And also what it does is it encourages, you see what happens is that, you know, sometimes when people come on, they think, oh my God, I want to have this person back on. When is this person coming back on? When is this? That's what would happen. And so what I did was I created that group, and it's actually kind of funny. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard, have you ever heard of the name Carlton Pearson?
I have heard of the name, yes.
Okay. I'm trying to interview him soon. I'm going to be interviewing him soon. What he believes is basically that hell is here, that there really is no hell, that heaven, we all go to heaven, or at least some form of heaven. And what is interesting about him is before he believed it, he was, you know, one of those Oral Roberts kind of people, you know. And the funny thing about that message, about telling everybody that they're going to go to heaven, I really believe that that's actually more common than a lot of people think. It's just that what happens is it doesn't blend well for organized religion, because what you have is with organized religion is that it's something to keep people coming to church. Well, if you say, okay, you're going to go to heaven, it doesn't matter if you come back next Sunday, it doesn't blend well to keep a church afloat. But I think it's actually more common than a lot of people think. And the reason I believe that it's more common than a lot of people think is ask someone who they think belongs in hell and see what they say. And the first person that they're going to say is Hitler. The only problem with them saying that is this. Hitler is dead. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then they might say, well, Charles Manson. But here's the thing. You mean to tell me that if you put a Baptist minister in a room with Charles Manson, that the Baptist minister wouldn't witness to Manson? Yes, he would. So that tells you right there that they wouldn't send anybody there. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. And the way I look at it too, Johnson, is that, you know, the bottom line is this. We're living this life to learn, to grow, to experience life, and to learn the value of life. And if we all had the same thoughts, if we all thought the same way, we would never learn. So it's you know, one of the gifts we're given in this life is that everyone has different theories, different thoughts, and we can learn from one another. And if we all thought the same way, we would never learn. And just like, and even with religion, I mean, myself, you know, growing up in a church upbringing that I'm in, and having these abilities I've been given, and being told that these abilities were not of God, you know, not right, I took it upon myself for years to study not just not just from the religion I grew up in, but all, in all the different religions. And also I studied of when the history of religion, of each religion began, how religion began. And, you know, I have my own thoughts on hell as well. If we had more time, I'd share that. I'll come back and share with that with you. But
good. That would be great.
But,
you can do that
follow-up.
What was the name of your website? I wanted to go and give a chance.
All right. And boy, this 30 minutes were really, really quick. The website, you can just go to lifesgift.com. That's LIFESGIFT, lifesgift, all one word, .com. Right there you'll see all my appearances and all we got going on. And, Jonathan, I want to thank you for giving me this time on your show today, and I'm looking forward to return.
Thank you. Great. Bye.
Thank you.